Business Matters on Highland Radio is brought to you by local enterprise office Donegal. If you have an idea to start or grow your business within Donegal, contact the local enterprise office team to find out more about the supports available for businesses. See localenterprise.ie/Donegal.
Hello and welcome to what is the 200th episode of Business Matters here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, I'll be speaking with Justin Molloy, Director, Construction Industry Federation, Western Midlands and Northern Region, about the construction sector's capacity to meet the demand for houses, the infrastructural deficit in the Northwest, and the need for mixed private and social housing. But first, applications are now open for Ambition, a female accelerator program. It's been popular in the past and has been of considerable benefit to those who have availed of it. To find out more, I've been speaking with Brenda Hegarty, Head of Enterprise, Local Enterprise Office, Donegal. And I began by asking her to outline what the program is all about and who it is geared towards.
Yes, well, the Ambition program is a award-winning business accelerator program which has been established in Donegal to encourage more females to start and grow global businesses from County Donegal. So this is the fifth year of the program, and we ask any females out there maybe that have an idea and want to explore if their idea is viable and they can grow a successful business to apply to the program. It's open for applications and the closing date is the 31st of July. Now, the program itself is a 12-week program. It'll take place over 12 weeks, most of which is online, half a day each week for 12 weeks. And there is an opening event and a closing event, and the women are engaged on a peer-to-peer learning to get a lot of mentoring support, as well as an opportunity to explore the feasibility of their idea in terms of problem solving. What exactly problem is the business idea trying to solve? Is there a market for that idea? And then looking at the fundamentals of business development and business startup, as well as looking at pitch development. But in addition to all of that, one of the most important features is the peer-to-peer learning, where they meet like-minded women. There's a lot of encouragement, confidence building, and a look at successful female role models in terms of females that have walked the journey and have established successful businesses, both in Donegal and outside of Donegal.
The fact that it's been going 5 years suggests that it's been very successful so far. Has the program been altered much over that period of time, or is it much the same as it was in the first year?
Much the same. It started actually in 2020. We came with the idea in 2019, developed the program, and then we had to actually adjust the program because of COVID. So that's when we moved to an online version, and we opened it up not just for females living in the county, but any female that had Donegal connections, the Donegal diaspora, and those with maybe family further out from themselves that have connections in Donegal. So the opportunity was expanded because of COVID, and that proved very successful. But the fundamentals have worked from the beginning. We've got excellent feedback. And last year, we actually won a Chambers Ireland Excellence in Local Government Award for the programme, given its degree of innovation and the opportunity for women outside of main urban areas to have access to a very high-quality business accelerator programme that's delivering great results.
And is it geared towards somebody who's already well established, or is it for somebody who's maybe at the beginning of a journey, maybe with a new business concept?
Yeah, well, it's actually, we've had a combination of both types of participants, and they've both proved very successful. So those that are new to business, that are just exploring an idea, or maybe they've had an ambition to start a business and they want to further examine that. And then we have those females that are successfully in business but might have a new idea to pivot or grow a different type of business or product. So they have participated as well. So whether you're new to business or maybe a female already in business that have a new idea and would like to spend some time exploring the opportunity surrounding that and to test to see is there a viable business proposition from that idea and get the support, the mentoring, the network, the access to the support structures that are available through the local enterprise office, Enterprise Ireland and beyond.
And can you give us an idea of some of the businesses that have benefited to date? What type of businesses have taken up the programme?
Well, some of the most recent participants, Trish Hegarty, who is Inish Communications, came on the programme to examine a PR toolkit, and that has successfully launched and is going very well. Diane Nesbitt, Purple Velvet, who just recently set up her business in COVID times, has gone from strength to strength, employing 8 employees, and that's looking at luxury treats in terms of cakes and treats. Anya Curran from Donegal Bees has participated, as has Carol Boyd, who is, one of those that was already successfully in business with a bridal shop, but she used the opportunity of the programme to look at bespoke wedding products that she could design and manufacture herself. Catherine Cook, Pumpskins. Catherine, who is a diabetic, looked at new products in terms of the diabetes market, and she's looking across the world at opportunities there. And then more recently, Orla Doherty, who is an equine animal behaviour consultant. She was previously a vet, and she looked at the specialism around equine animal behaviour and the opportunities globally. And she's currently in New Zealand exploring the market opportunity that the product presents in that market.
So it's 12 half-day workshops, am I right in saying that?
It is. Yep. 12 half-day workshops. We kick off. The program will start in September and run for 12 weeks up until Christmas time. And usually there's a finale where the participants present in a pitch environment their product, their business idea, and how they've advanced their idea over the course of the program. So it's a 12-week online. The opening and closing event are in person, but the rest of it is online. And you get one-to-one as well as group mentoring as part of the programme. It's free to participate in, but it is a competitive process, and we would encourage applicants, anybody interested, to apply early or contact anybody in the local enterprise office if they want to discuss the programme further.
So as you said there, it's a competitive process, so there is a maximum number of businesses that you can take on board.
Usually we would have 12, up to 12 participants, so it's highly competitive. So we'd ask anybody who's thinking of it to get their applications in early, and as I said, the closing date's the 31st of July.
And the application process, what does that involve?
Yeah, it's very straightforward. There's an online at localenterprise.ie/Donegal. You'll get a link there to the application form. And it's just a few pages, just asking about yourself and what your product idea, your business idea is. And then we will be back in touch to explore further the application and see if the course is the right programme for the individual applying.
So just to recap, Wednesday, July the 31st is the closing date for applications, and I take it you'd like to see as many applications in as soon as possible.
We would indeed. So I suppose we're now at the beginning of July, but it'll not be long till it passes by. So anybody thinking of it to get started on their application, there is an opportunity online to save your application and go back to it at another time, but to get registered and express your interest through the application, or indeed get in touch with the local enterprise office if they want to speak to us about the programme, or indeed any support. We have a wide range of supports through the local enterprise office for people starting or growing their businesses. So we welcome any business inquiries or any support that we can offer businesses out there in the current climate.
And I know that just looking at the website for the local enterprise office and the details in relation to this, you have a lovely YouTube clip as well, a very upbeat piece with some of the past participants.
Yes, so we've great branding and design that has been developed for the programme over the last number of years, and we've used the opportunity to tell the story of the programme and how beneficial it is through the voices of those that have participated. So as you said, on the website there is a nice video clip showing the programme and its contents and the participants over the past number of years.
And that was Brenda Hegarty, Head of Enterprise, Local Enterprise Office, Donegal. Justin Malloy, Director, CIF, Western Midland and Northern Region. Thanks for joining us on the programme, and we're going to have a look at the construction sector. And a lot of people wondering, we're going to need an awful lot more houses built in particular in the next few years. And here in Donegal, we've got the added demand because of the mica crisis. First of all, in terms of the actual building industry, what way are we fixed in terms of actually having enough builders and enough tradesmen there to complete these works?
Chris, how are you? Just in relation to the capacity to build, the industry has always responded to demand, whatever it might happen to be, to the building of houses. And if the demand is there, the industry will respond. Now, there's no doubt there are challenges in the industry. I'd say most contractors, you know, are sourcing operatives and craftsmen and technical professional people at every level to carry out works. But the reality of the situation is the delays always in delivering, particularly of housing, tends to occur in, you know, at the planning stages. It takes a long time to get through the planning system, particularly if there are objections. So these are more often not where the delays occur. They don't actually occur really when guys get onto site. When they get onto site and they get the go-ahead, the industry gets on and delivers the housing. The biggest challenge, I suppose, we have at the moment to delivering houses is probably we need is the delivery of infrastructure. We need more water and wastewater infrastructure to be delivered to service the lands for housing, and as well as obviously commercial and industrial and other building projects. But we need the services, and we need our planning system to be able to adjudicate on planning applications in a much more timely and cost-effective manner, because that's really where the delays are. But you will find when people, when contractors get the go-ahead to proceed on site, they generally respond fairly efficiently and within time.
Yeah, I suppose if we cast our minds back prior to the Celtic Tiger, when it came upon us, there was a surge in construction activity, and a lot of people were employed additionally in that sector, and no doubt that could happen again. You mentioned the serviced land. There is a lot of land that's actually zoned correctly, but as you say, it can be that delay. So from conception of a plan to actual planning, procurement, and then eventually building, you can be talking a number of years, and that can be a best case scenario.
Yes, unfortunately, that is the case. First of all, you have to get the lands zoned. The zoned lands are serviced, and a lot of instances they are, but in some instances they're not. And it could take, you know, years to get that. It has to be obviously within Irish Water's remit or Irish Gael's remit to service those lands and provide the infrastructure so that the buildings can go ahead. Now, in fairness, Irish Water, they do a good job, but they probably need more funding and more resources so that they can continue to roll out infrastructure, particularly in, you know, in the regions, so that we do have a sufficient amount of zoned and service lands. And then when you do have the zoned and service lands, you then have to go through a planning process, which can be, if you're lucky and you you get through it without objections, you know, that's one thing. But if it goes from Bord Pleanála and if it's appealed then further to, for a judicial review, that can take years. And it can mean the difference between a project being financially viable to proceed and not being financially viable to proceed. And all these delays for contractors add on costs to the end user. So every year, every delay is a cost that has to be borne, unfortunately, by the end user to the heel of the hunt. But the action, as I said to you before, because it's the construction stage isn't the delays. Once you get on site, you know, projects are delivered fairly rapidly and within the programme time. It's to get to the construction stage, which is the difficulty.
Now, after the Celtic Tiger, quite a lot of relatively small builders, shall we call them, went out of business. And in counties like Donegal, you know, traditionally it would have been quite a lot of these small builders who might have built maybe 10, 20 houses over a period of time. Are they still about? Will they come back into the sector to meet the growing demand?
Well, there's a lot of them, as you say, are gone out and haven't come back. And we would hope that some of them would come back. But probably the biggest barrier to entry for them at the moment would be access to finance. So if you're a small developer who's building traditionally maybe 20 houses in a local town, the difficulty there is getting the finance to purchase the land and the zoned land and with services and with planning. Very often it's difficult to get, you know, the finance necessary if the land doesn't have planning and you have to go through a planning process. That can take some time, and it just might mean that it's not financially viable for the smaller developer to enter into that type of an arrangement. So we do need to have to maybe look at how we deliver housing in the future, private housing schemes in the future, for the local population, because, you know, we need a mixture of house types. We need social housing, we need affordable housing, we also need private housing schemes. And we need them to be financially viable for the developer and obviously affordable for the end user, the purchaser. And that's probably the biggest challenge we have now at the moment.
And in towns like Letterkenny, where we have a lot of foreign direct investment, a lot of the firms, thankfully, are doing very well. They may well be expanding in the years to come. But part of the issues that they face, it's not just recruiting people, but where are these people going to live? So for the private sector, a lot of these people who are coming in who may take up positions, they need to be housed, and it'll largely be in private housing. So again, we're back to where we started from. There is that sort of time delay.
There is. I suppose for any employer now, irrespective of whether you're a foreign direct investor, even the construction industry, because there's a campaign there by the government to go out and encourage construction workers who went abroad to come back and work in Ireland. And probably the biggest challenge for anybody coming back into the country is to find somewhere that's reasonably affordable to rent or ideally to purchase. And that would be the same for any employer. So if you're trying to attract key staff back, they have to have somewhere to live, obviously. So we need to be able to respond to that. We need to be able to provide the housing for these people, for the new workers to rent and ideally to buy. And we do have an affordability issue there and a viability issue there. But we need to kind of make it easier. And if we could avoid the delays, I said, if we had the land that had the infrastructure and the water, the wastewater infrastructure, that would be great. And if we had a planning system, our planning system could deliberate on decisions and we could come to inclusion in a lot more timely fashion, that would be a big benefit to everybody. It would just mean that you would get projects off the ground quicker and you wouldn't incur additional delays and costs and increased costs and everything. So that whole area has to be looked at. How do we overcome that?
And away from housing for a moment, in terms of infrastructure and our road network, there are numerous towns where there are delays in getting ring roads or bypasses. And again, this is something that seems to have plagued the country, and it can take 10, 20, 30 years from when an idea is hatched until it is actually built.
Yes, there is. We have, you know, it takes a long time sometimes to deliver infrastructure. Other countries, particularly Commonwealth countries, have what they call infrastructural commissions. And the infrastructural commissions, their role is to advise the government of the day. So they would consist of industry experts who would be adept at, you know, determining what projects are priority for projects to go ahead, how they should be designed, get them through the planning system, get them through the public procurement system, get them on site and built. And they will be planning today what the state needs in 20, 30, 40 years down the road. So when the governments will always come and go. And so when one government falls, a new government comes in, at least you have the commission there to advise the government of the day of where we stand, where they're at. And obviously the government today will make the decisions on what projects will go ahead. But at least you have consistency in approach. So the commission will always be there. They'll always be working on designing the infrastructure we need into the future, be that road, water, wastewater, be that ports, airports. All this infrastructure will be designed. And they'll have a ready selection of projects that can go ahead. And they become the experts in it. And they manage to, you know, get the designs down to a fine art, and they get them through the planning system, and they fine-tune the procurement system, so time is not lost and projects go to site, and we don't have a situation whereby, you know, projects for roads are started today and it might be 10 years time by the time, you know, the project is designed and a route selection is agreed and it goes through a planning process and a procurement system. So we need a lot more efficiency in that route, and something like the Infrastructure Commission would help greatly if we had a consistency in approach. So as I say, governments will come and go, but at least there's a consistent approach and we get it down to a fine art, and that would be very helpful. As would possibly be a Department for the Built Environment, similar to the Department of Agriculture, that you'd have the department be totally dedicated to the construction industry. It would cover everything from design to building regulations to public procurement, to anything construction related from a planning or design or building regulations perspective. And again, that department would become the expertise over the years to deliver and manage the delivery of all our entire built environment.
We've heard a lot recently about future housing needs and how Dublin and Cork and the major urban centres are going to see most activity. But I presume it's important for everybody, including the Construction Industry Federation, that we do have more balanced regional growth.
Yes, if you look at the National Planning Framework, it calls for an economic counterbalance to Dublin, so balanced regional development. So the idea is that all the houses aren't built in the cities and the large urban centres, that it's spread out across the country to the region. So we don't have everybody leaving the regions and going into the large urban centres to work. That we, you know, there's plenty of opportunity and infrastructure and roads and houses within the regions to attract foreign direct investors there. That there's a population there, so that if I'm a foreign direct investor, I set up in a rural area or a small town or village, that there's going to be a workforce there for me. That workforce is going to have housing and there's going to be roads, public transport, etc. there. So we do need balanced economic development. As I say, that's what the National Planning Framework is trying to achieve. But for that to happen, we do have to invest in infrastructure in the regions. You know, we need, if you look at Donegal, for instance, you know, doesn't have a motorway, it doesn't have a rail network. You know, we need that. We need to start planning ahead for those types of things. We need to be delivering that infrastructure to the Donegal Northwest border regions and parts of the Midlands. We need that again, as I said to you there, an infrastructure commission to be looking at all of this. What are the priorities? Would you say, how are we going to achieve balanced regional development? What do we need to achieve that? As the first thing, we can't build anything without infrastructure. If no infrastructure, you have no building. So you have to start at the start, and the start is infrastructure.
We've seen a big increase in our population over the last few years. In terms of people who are maybe not from the EU, or even if they are from the EU, in the construction sector, have we seen much of an influx of foreign workers?
Oh, yeah, there's various sectors of our industry would have a lot of people out from Europe and from further afield, outside of Europe, who are working in the construction industry. And they're working at every level, at operative, craft, technical, professional level. And we have some of our members have gone out to South Africa, and they've recruited engineers and surveyors and contracts managers and brought them to Ireland to work here. So, you know, the industry is very multicultural, and we welcome people who have the skills that we need and the professions that we need and technical expertise to assist us in delivering our built environment.
If we look at the current levels of construction activity, remember years ago they used to count the number of cranes in the skyline in certain urban centres and cities. Just how active are things now, say, vis-a-vis the Celtic Tiger? Are we very much on an upward spiral?
Well, the industry, if you talk to most contractors, they are quite busy working on projects. What they're, I suppose probably the biggest challenge for not just the construction industry, for the entire economy, is housing, is to ensure that we have sufficient houses in the right places to, for our population to live and work. And But as regards work, most contractors are very busy now at the moment, and we would hope that obviously would continue. But we'd like, what we need for a stable construction industry is a clear pipeline of work. And, you know, the state is probably one of the biggest employers when it comes to construction. So when it comes to, as I say, like the likes of Irish Water and other state bodies, NRA, people like that, for roads, for the civil engineering contractors particularly, they need to see a steady stream of work ahead of them. Or if we don't have that, we can't have the stop-start approach that sometimes happens in construction where there's a massive amount of activity and then there's nothing. We need a consistent, you know, well-approached, well-designed program of work into the future so they can, so that particularly, say, civil engineers, contractors, know where the work is coming in the future, so they can invest in plant and equipment, train their men, etc., to work in our industry. Other than that, if we don't have that consistent approach and a pipeline of work that people can see ahead, we lose people. If things slow up and they haven't worked, obviously they have to take their plant and equipment out of Ireland, probably bring it over to England and other European countries and start setting up operations there. So you can't emphasize how important it is that we have a consistent approach to delivery of public construction projects. And there is, as I say, there is a good pipeline of work. There's a good vision there that irrespective of how the economy is, that we won't, if the economy drops, you don't just stop, that you just keep going. There is a need, and there's a need now, and there will be a need into the future for infrastructure. And that we can see that there's a plan led ahead. And I say, go back to something like an infrastructure commission would help in that objective.
And just wrapping things up, you know, in a county like Donegal, where obviously there's going to be this added demand because of the mica crisis, would you be confident that there is going to be a sufficient supply of houses being built, that there will be enough contractors to fill that gap that's clearly going to be there?
Well, I'd imagine what's normally happened in the past, if there is a market, you know, the industry does respond. Now, it is challenging, no doubt about it, trying to get sufficient workers on projects. But if you can see a pipeline of work and, you know, somebody can see there's going to be work there, I would hope that, you know, the industry would be in a position to respond. Now, it always has in the past, and I'd expect it would do so in the future. And we also have now in construction, you know, what we call MMC, our modern methods of construction, which is really off-site construction. And we've lots of new, you know, companies have set up and they're providing timber frame, like light gauge steel, precast concrete, you know, timber frame. So they're doing lots of different types of construction off-site and delivering it directly on-site. So that is, I suppose, another element of the construction industry. It's not going to be the silver bullet that will solve all the problems, but it is definitely a help. So it's about quantifying the work, about being able to see a pipeline of work, about having certainty. And then, of course, there's viability, there's the cost of construction. Obviously, we're all well aware of increased costs of materials and construction materials over the last number of years. And there's still an element of that in some materials. Some of it has stabilized a bit. Fuel, thankfully, has come back a bit. And obviously, labor costs will continue to increase. But it's about trying to get stability and a vision for the future and stability back into the market. And with a bit of luck, we should all be fine then.
And finally, just a word or two about the role of the CIF and how you liaise with your members, and obviously you lobby the government. We've heard before about calls for reduction in VAT in the construction sector. Is that still on the cards or on the table?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, we would suggest that, you know, to make again new buildings more viable for first time buyers. If you could eliminate the VAT or zero rate the VAT on new homes, that would be a significant reduction in the cost of a house. See, if you look at the cost of a house, a lot of the cost of the house goes back to the state directly or indirectly in the form of taxes, be they VAT, which is a significant one, or in DIY and other forms of taxes and levies that go on a house. So obviously the reduction of VAT, and we'd have it in our budget submission, that we would like to see the VAT reduced in housing to make construction more viable. As regards to the CIF as an organisation, we're there to represent the industry, in fairness, to lobby on behalf of the industry and to represent our members. And in Donegal, we have the Donegal branch of the CIF, and we would meet a number of times a year, normally in Letterkenny, and we discuss a number of issues that have concern to the industry, and we would meet with the local authorities and the other bodies within the Donegal region, and we meet with local politicians. obviously to give them our views and express our concerns and hopefully come up with solutions that, you know, are that work for everybody. But yes, you know, anything that can reduce the cost of housing, which is, I suppose, the biggest challenge at the moment, anything that can reduce the cost of housing, we would encourage. And obviously that would be a big one. But also, as I said previously, you know, delays in planning and all the rest cost, because cost of finance is expensive. And if you're holding that expense for a number of years, that's all adding to the end line. And it just, as I said, it makes some projects, unfortunately, financially unviable to proceed.
And that was Justin Molloy, the director of the Construction Industry Federation's Western, Midlands and Northern region. In other news, the Society of the Irish Motor Industry has released its official 241 new vehicle registration statistics for June. Well, new car registrations for the month of June nationally were down by some 50%, while registrations for the year to date nationally are up 1.7%. Well, in Donegal, there were 1,719 new registrations in the county for the first 6 months, so that was up 6.77% on the corresponding figure for last year. So sales in Donegal above the national average in terms of the percentage increase. Interestingly, new electric car sales were down significantly. The top 10 makes in Donegal for the first 6 months of the year were as follows. Toyota at number one, Kia at two. In third, we had Skoda. Fourth, Volkswagen. Fifth, Hyundai. Sixth, Suzuki. Seventh, Ford. Eighth, Opel. Ninth, Nissan. And 10th, Dacia. The Kia Sportage was the most popular model in Donegal, followed by the Skoda Octavia and the Toyota RAV4. In terms of the types of engines in Donegal, petrol cars accounting for 32.8% of sales, diesel 27.8% of sales, and petrol electric over 22.5% of sales. Pure electric cars just 7.7% of sales. The most popular colour for new cars in Donegal is grey. That accounts for 37.8% of new cars registered. White and ivory is second at almost 16%, just ahead of black. Well, commenting on the figures, Brian Cook, the Society of Irish Motor Industry Director General, said that the decline in the new electric vehicle car market continues to highlight the need for government to support the transition, and there needs to be more ways to incentivise the market for both private and company car buyers. Meanwhile, the Irish designer Gabrielle Malone has created a bespoke cardigan for Taylor Swift. It all coincided with the Superstars concerts in Dublin. The designer collaborated with Fáilte Ireland to create the Taylor cardigan, which references Irish destinations that the singer has visited in the past. Taylor Swift's road trips around the country have included stays in counties including Donegal, and there are seven different colours in the patchwork cardigan, with each patch representing a different area of Ireland. Indeed, there's a honeycomb stitch inspired by Donegal beekeepers. The cardigan is designed with a blue trim to represent the Wild Atlantic Way, while large shamrocks feature as elbow patches. Fáilte Ireland has also created a Taylor Swift-inspired itinerary of must-visit spots, including locations the singer visited herself. Destinations include Donegal's Ballymastocker Bay, where Taylor was pictured enjoying the sand under her feet. Fans can access the bespoke cardigan pattern and the Taylor Swift-inspired itinerary at discoverireland.ie. Well, that's it for this 200th episode of Business Matters here on Highland Radio. My thanks to you for tuning in. If you want to contact the programme, you can email me at businessmatters@highlandradio.com. Until the next time, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Business Matters on Highland Radio is brought to you by Local Enterprise Office Donegal. If you have an idea to start or grow your business within Donegal, contact the Local Enterprise Office team to find out more about the supports available for businesses. See localenterprise.ie/Donegal.